Time Passages, Dark Angels at Lochrew, Midsummer 2019.
First thing in the morning. It's morning, surprise, my alarm clock cries. So I stumble and stagger out of the stony house, sleet still falling from my eye, and walk in on something I'll never forget, catching morning by surprise. I see rosy-fingered Dawn still pushing up the sun. She blushes while her sister, still painting the grass with dew, quickly evaporates from view. Gust tries to pry the blanket of fog from mountain, but he holds on tightly like a child reluctant to get up for school. The half-moon bashfully begins to fade, and the fairies flee back to their secret bed. Like walking in on an early surprise party thrown for you, even the neighbours are in on it too. Mrs. Rabbit stops and stares before shooting off down the drive. The family of cows move and move so quickly there isn't even time to say hi. So, with a heavy sigh, I lie in the grass perfectly still and silent. And a few moments later, without fuss or failure, all the characters begin to reappear. I watch and wonder as they set up the day, getting everything ready in proper order, when all of a sudden a starling flies by with a twinkle in eye, falling right out of the sky. He dips and he swoops, he grabs and he scoops in his beak a jiggling, juicy worm. As it flies by, it nods and it smiles, ready to enjoy its morning surprise.
Morning till breakfast. I'm awake. Ring, ring, my alarm has again rudely woken me from sleep. Time to get up. Physically I'm awake, mentally maybe not. A light glaze shadows my eyes while I move slowly towards the shower, leaving my crisp, cool linen sheets. The birds are awake since dawn, flying back and forth as I pull the curtains to feed their young. I'm still hazy. It is warm and muggy, sort of how I feel. Through my other window, the sun tries to creep over the hill and escape from behind the clouds. I haven't yet reached the shower, nor am I awake. Feeling slightly more alive after my shower, I follow my nose to the smell of freshly brewed coffee, awakening my senses. I'm not a morning person, however, coffee in the morning is a small piece of sunshine. It makes me smile. I feel human again. I splash cold, fresh milk, the colour of my crisp white sheets, over special cereal, Special K. I feel like I'm eating something healthy. With lightly scented orange slices, I gaze out the window and think of my last holiday. The glaze lifts from my eyes. The sun has risen over the hills. I listen intently to the conversations, taking in the morning breakfast. I'm ready to start a new day. I am awake.
11 a.m. Time trots on, but the clock stands still. I gaze up at the bookshelf. The timepiece is like none I've seen before. Two black horses embrace. Below hangs an antique mirror, reflecting the mid-morning sunlight. The ornate gold vines frame the view outside. The green trees are waving at us through the French doors, like grass on chalk cliffs against the white Irish sky. Colourful covers stand in symmetrical rows, perfectly imperfect. A hand-painted heron peeps through the pages, its pink glow like a halo. A game bird hides behind the reeds and the complete works of Shakespeare in the opposite corner. The room is almost completely silent, except for the sounds of breath and panicked pens on paper. I think of the term drawing room. Did people draw here? Did they withdraw here? One thing I'm certain of, this room's usage is a far cry from its modern equivalent. There's not a screen in sight, no trays for TV dinners, not a game nor a glossy magazine. Just salvaged curiosities, unflattering portraits, and an assortment of books spanning centuries. Among the trinkets are the horses. The clock stands still as time trots on.
Lunchtime. It's just before 1 p.m. and as we would say in the north, it's a queer day. The sun is high in the sky, casting a glorious golden hue all around. I stand in the field and gaze at the rich wilderness all around. Pale clouds drift past. I close my eyes and listen to the sounds of an Irish midsummer. Busy bees buzzing and feasting on foxgloves and field flowers. Sheep bleat and blether to each other in the surrounding fields. Black crows circle overhead, cawing loudly. The chatter of the group as we walk together. Somewhere in the distance, the hum of a lawnmower. A tractor grumbling along the road. I swat a noisy blue bottle from my ear. The air is still. Grass sways ever so slowly and quietly in the slight wind, tickling my bare ankles. The hint of dampness in the air gives way to the welcome summer warmth. Underfoot, my trainers crush meadow grass, buttercups, nettle, clover, releasing grassy floral notes in the warm air. The sun feels warm on my face. Momentarily, we pass out of the sunshine and through the dark, dappled shade of an elm tree avenue. As we would say in the north, it's been a lovely wee dander.
Just after lunch. Oh, lovely lunch. Mouth-watering Miriam's quiche. Crisp cucumber turns to gravel crumble as we writers wander with each other down the path like a line of desserts on a tray, some with hair whipped up by the wind to a cream topping, others wearing a brown-skulled walnut crown. We pass deep, green, gorgeous trees, mossed to the strawed roots, sucking at the moist earth to feed their bowl of leaves, dressed in the lightest vinaigrette of breeze. Leaves all green from the dappled apple to the nutty, gnarled cones of scented pine. There's a mushroom bloom of daisies in the grass, while some of it is buttered in clots of yellow. Parts are tamed, parts are wild, but all of it rising into the heat of the sun to be munch crunch for grass-fed beef, seared on the outside, then carved into succulent ribbons of tenderness. The melting pot of meadows are skimmed, a scoop of breeze, and I sense the invisible swirl of baked grass steam yield up the aroma of herbs fit for foraged cocktails. Oh, lovely drinks.
Mid-afternoon. I never understand Shakespeare's praise for a temperate summer, for I have always lived in the subtropical Asia where heat and humidity is a torture. In Lockroo, mid-June, under a bright blue sky, I can resonate the loveliness of a bright summer day. The sun is shining bright in the afternoon, warming up our discussion on the use of words. We sit in the courtyard, under the backdrop of rolling greens which stretches for miles. Birds chirping in our ears. Maybe they are flying somewhere in the baby blue sky? I see radiance in everyone's face and eyes winking while words are exchanged. Words, many words, connection of meanings. From retribution to Italy to Andrew Carnegie, we search for correlations, ideas, and aspirations. A blanket of clouds travels by, dimming the face of everyone. Then I look up. I feel the soft white clouds covering me like a puffy duvet. I can even sense the smell of clean laundry, perhaps just in my imagination. I bite on a chocolate chip cookie, feeling the blissfulness of sweetness of burnt sugar in my mouth. The air is crisp, and there is a faint smell of coffee from John, who is sitting next to me. Flies buzzing in my ears, the annoyance of the unwelcome intruders. Will they ever go away? I will not let them ruin my temperate summer day, I decide.
Early evening. It's early evening and the house is airier now. Doors and French windows have been opened all afternoon. Inside, it's blessedly cool. The sunlight has lost its glare, but it's still strong, flowing across the table set for dinner with its crisp white linens, cool blue water glasses, and regimented rows of silverware. We're talking about campaigns across the UK and Ireland, about branding and rebranding. I stand up, stretch, and wander towards the kitchen. Clattering chatter and delicious smells have made me curious about dinner. Jackie is mashing potatoes. I say hello, then walk down the worn stone steps, across and out to the courtyard. I walk across the gravel and onto the cobbles. It's cooler here, with a slight breeze that I linger to enjoy. Then I walk back inside and retrace my steps to the cozy conversation by the fireplace. The hearth, even when not in use, is the heart of the house, and we all gravitate to it. I lean back into the carnivorous sofa and listen, eager to find out where the conversation has traveled to while I was outside taking in the early evening air.
Late evening. Bright low sun casting long shadows on the land and on this page, then the sun slips below a horizon. A steady rumble of a lawnmower. Someone hammering. The last few tweets of birdsong and swallows flying low to the ground, catching flies. Cool, calm air with occasional gentle breezes moving the tall grasses around. Some late bees buzzing lazily around. Cows having their last feed of grass. Feeling full and satiated from an unexpected feast of fish and beef. The caw of crows as they head north in the evening sky. Sun sinking beneath the clouds, streaks of gold, grey-blue clouds, long shadows fading.
Middle of the night. Time passes while you sleep. It's not unexpected that I wake. It's customary. Sleep never lasts long these days. So I tread the passages of time like a burglar in the dark. Who knows? I might be able to lift a dream from someone else. I creep, unable to avoid the creaking floorboard underfoot. My phone lights the way, there and back, blue light inserted into the blackness, like a knife between the pages of a book. Darkness, silence, they wrap an uneasy blanket around me as I slide into the sheets of the bed. I absorb this darkness as deep as an ocean, this silence as still as the stars. I listen for the ticking of the house, but the clocks are on night watch, fingers to lips. I am unnerved by the scarcity of sound, except for the throbbing pulse inside my head that tells me, time passes, time passes, time passes.